Have you ever felt like podcasting is an extrovert's game? What if I told you that as an introvert, your quiet strength could be your secret weapon? In this episode, I talked to my friend Remy Roy. She is the founder of SheePack.com and the host of the Driven Introvert podcast. And in this episode, we talk about how introverts can harness the power of podcasting to build authentic brands, forge deep connections, and as the results shine even without the big stage. Hey, this is the official Introvert's Guide to Podcasting. You're going to love this episode. Let's go. Remy, welcome to Making Varsity. Let's go.
Oh my gosh, Brad, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
So I like to say this. We met at summer camp, and the summer camp's name is Omar's summer camp. And so many of our friends, if you're familiar with Omar El-Tikhori, is a really cool, really cool brand, incredible YouTube channel, the department, yeah. And podcast. And he runs these different challenges, the content to cast challenge. A lot of the guests that are featured on here, I met through that. And so, Remy, I consider you're like a summer camp friend, you know. It's super fun to have you here.
That was such a great experience, getting to meet all these wonderful people, you know. Yeah. Doing amazing things. Yeah.
Well, and that's the crazy thing about community is when you step out and you do something new, it's amazing because, you know, maybe you have friends that are from different areas and parts of your life, but then when you sort of mm-hmm. step into an entrepreneurial journey, all these new characters sort of come into your story that you never would have expected before. And so I'm excited to talk a little bit about your journey, and I want to talk specifically about podcasts. But before we get to that, talk a little bit about how did you get here from just where you started? What has your journey towards podcasting looked like? And then we're going to talk about the driven introvert and what that looks like. So tell us, give us a little bit of the origin story.
Oh, wow. Origin story. I'm a very creative person. And I love to explore that creativity in any way that comes to me. Huh. And over the years, I have learned to be more, to be less afraid, to be less bothered about the outcome of what I'm doing, and to just jump in. And it wasn't easy to get here. I have tried so many things, from writing, you know, I published books. I did writing workshops for people to kind of get them through, you know, the writing and publishing process. I tried a little bit of YouTube, you know, I do graphic design, like just so many things. And I think the first time that I thought about podcasting was I saw someone who I knew not too well, just an acquaintance, start a podcast. And I'm like, this is fascinating. I love this. And I just felt like, as somebody who just loves to try things, I'm like, I want to give this a shot and see where it goes. Mm. You know, so I just jumped in feet first. I'm like, I'm going to just do this. In hindsight, I could have plan better for that experience.
Sure. Because, said every podcaster ever.
I know. I could have planned better, but I'm glad that I did, because I think it's just part of the things that has brought me here, because I think a lot of us are afraid to try things because we worry too much about what is it going to feel like, you know, what is going to be the outcome of this. You know, I want to make money from it, or I want it to go viral. I want everybody to know me. I'm not interested in that. I just want to try things, because I think the more you try things, the more opportunities you give yourself to actually hit the mark. You're not going to hit every mark, but the more you just get into the mindset of, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to give it a shot and see where it goes. And that's really been my journey, just learning to grow out of the limiting beliefs that hold us back. And yeah.
I love that. And that's really part of your brand too. You talk about this concept, and you've already said it a couple of different times, being a trier. Tell me a little bit about that. What does it mean to be a trier?
It's just to try things.
Sure.
Try things. Because I think there is a mindset that a lot of us have that is not conducive to a creative lifestyle.
Okay.
Because the traditional way of thinking about things is, you know, we know how this goes. You go to school, you get a job, you do it, you know, as best as you can, you make money, and you live your life. And for me, I just knew that I wanted more than that. I wanted more than that, you know, but I didn't know what exactly I wanted. I wanted more, but I didn't know exactly what that more meant for me.
Right.
So the only way for me to figure it out is to try things.
Mm.
The only way is to try things. So I say this all the time. If you don't know what to do,
yes,
pick something. Pick one thing. Try it. Take it for a spin. Just do it and see where it goes. And you're not married to it. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't make sense for you, if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't sit right, move to the next thing. And I know that there might be objections in people's minds of like, I don't have the time to just try things. I have a family to take care of. And I get that, right? Depending on the life, you know, the stage of life where you are, some things might be more difficult for you to do. But I feel like there are little ways that you can take things for a spin. Even if you have a full life that demands a lot from you, where you have a lot of responsibilities, there might just be ways to just try things out. And if you take an audit of your life, if you take an audit of your time, your schedule, and you take all of that time that you waste, I call it wasting, you know, just doing things that don't move you forward, you might be able to carve out some time and just try things out. You know, if you're young and you're not married, perfect time to do it. But even if you are, you have a full life, you have kids, you can figure it out. So for me, trying is just trying. Just do something.
I love that. And I think that's such an important mindset. And I don't know if you know this about me, you know, my career before stepping out into marketing was full-time ministry. And I worked specifically with leading interns for many years. So youth and young adults. And a lot of what we did was this very thing. It's mindset stuff. And one of the projects that we would do, I mean, these were 17-year-olds, and we actually did a full-on Shark Tank experience. And so the students would work with business coaches to put together kind of a skeleton, you know, business plan. But the real thrust of the project was to put them in front of very high-level business leaders in our church. And we did a whole production, I mean, multi-cam, five-camera setup. We did the kind the whole thing. And it was always amazing to watch some of the more introverted students sort of navigate this, because it is intentionally a high pressure situation.
Yes.
What's crazy about it is that there's actually a stack 2 years before Shark Tank, they actually do a podcast. They launch a podcast or a YouTube channel. And so we were sort of building those life skills on top of one another. And I used to always tell people, listen, they may never become an entrepreneur after today. Yep. But it's very similar to like the life of David, where he says, hey, I've killed the lion and the bear. So what is this giant? So we used to always say, hey, it actually doesn't matter if you become a business leader. If you can stare down the Shark Tank, you can say, hey, I've faced the Shark Tank. What's this Chick-fil-A job interview? Like, I don't have to worry about that, you know? And I love that. I love what you're saying, because I think that's so important, because it is a life design situation of you've got to put yourself in situations to try things. Otherwise, you may miss out on the opportunity to discover the thing that you were meant to do.
Right? I love it.
So tell me
100%
how podcasting, like what, I guess, what was that feeling, maybe that trigger where you mentioned, oh, I'm fascinated by this. Like, what made that different to where it quite literally shifted your career, even, you know, these next steps that you're taking these days? What was it about the medium that struck you in such a way? Because you had designed a life where you're trying these new things. Now, podcasting. So why podcasting?
Gosh. I think I might have to reflect on this a little bit to kind of see, tease out, you know, what that might be.
But that's okay.
When
we
I
have
think
time.
About it, I know. When I think about it, I think a huge part of it was also my master's program. Mm. I
What's
have
your
a
master's
in? Emerging Media and Communication.
Okay.
At the University of Texas at Dallas. And when I did that program, I think it just opened up a portal, so to speak, in my mind of what was possible with creativity and where I could go with the things that I'm really excited about. Before I got into that program, I'd been a writer for a while. So that was my main form of expression, was writing. And when I got into this program, we had this class where we had to tell a story in different mediums. So in text, in images, in video, and in audio. And I remember what I chose to do was talk about African trailblazers, or who of African descent. And I remember I did that, and I looked for stories online, and I put it together. I did a video. I did like an image, kind of like a collage kind of thing. I did a text, which is almost like a choose your adventure type thing. Mm-hmm. And it was such a fun experience. And when I got to the audio part of it, I think there was something. I didn't know it at the time, but there was something about that process. Figuring out, I think I used Adobe Premiere. It was the first time that I was using it. And figuring out how to kind of tell the story, how to edit the clips that I got, because I use found footage and audio, and had edited together, I thoroughly enjoyed that process. Mm. And even when it came time to present my project, it was exciting for me. And then it was after that, a year or two after, that I found a friend online who started a podcast. And I don't know, I think the pieces just came together. And I'm like, it just connected in my brain. Because for me, it was like, okay, I've been writing, I've been expressing myself creatively in this way. Mm. What could I do with podcasting? And I don't think it would have been a natural thing, because I have always been an extreme introvert. The kind of introvert that will enter a room and go straight to the back and never talk to anyone. That was me.
Yeah.
So for me to think that I would enjoy talking, I don't know where that came from, because I've never been the talker. I've never been the kind of person who likes to talk.
Mm.
You know, but I think just the process of growing and putting myself in situations where I wanted to do more and
yes.
being open to what was possible and knowing, just having that growth mindset that
yes.
I may not have the skills for this today, but I can learn.
Yes.
I can figure it out. I can move forward. I think that's part of it for me.
There are so many ways that angles that I could take at that, because I'm super yeah. passionate even about educational design, and just talking about how you mentioned it was like an unlock for you
mm-hmm.
of it just how the project was designed. There are very lazy ways that a teacher or an instructor
yeah.
could go about delivering that same learning outcome,
mm-hmm.
but the
mm-hmm.
fact that it was a very unique delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Not only taught the concept, but changed your life in such a way where it just unlocked this other part of your brain and your heart
yes.
and your mind to now look at the outcomes. I mean, it's
yeah.
it really is a fascinating thing.
It's powerful.
And yeah. podcasting is an interesting medium in that way. And I want to talk a little bit about, because you mentioned I'm an extreme introvert. And I think, there's a lot of things that come to mind when people talk mm-hmm. about introversion, extroversion. You know, there's the popularity of the Enneagram in the past few years. You know, you've got,
yeah.
We used to always use 16 personalities and, Myers-Briggs mm-hmm. as a part of the assessment, StrengthsFinder, all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit? Let's myth bust a little bit. Just
okay.
Maybe bust a few myths that maybe the common, maybe the average person has about what introverts are really all about, and maybe break
yeah.
some of those stereotypes for folks today.
Yeah. Let's start with the way that I look at introversion is I think it's a way of being that prioritizes reflection, deep connections, alone time to recharge. And that's the way I see it. Now, some of the myths that are around introversion, some of them could be, I see why people have those kinds of perceptions or perspectives. Because look at me, I used to be an extreme introvert.
Mm.
And the kind of introvert that was also shy and had a lot of anxiety. But shyness and anxiety for me, it's not part of introversion. There are introverts who are not shy. There are introverts who don't have anxiety, right? So part of the myth is like, oh, introverts are shy. They're antisocial. They don't like to be around people. They do not like people. They hate people. Like, that's not true. I think we need to kind of look at the way it should be perceived, the way it really is for introverts. I'm an introvert mostly because I prioritize alone time when I need to recharge, when I need to get myself together, when I need to calm down, when I need to reflect. I like to do that by myself. It works best for me, right?
Mm.
When I've been around people all day, I am going to need at least 30 minutes to an hour
sure.
to just get back to my normal self. I need that.
Right.
Right? So I think that's very crucial. Now, there are introverts who are really bold. There are introverts who are very confident. There are introverts who would get into a room and are not afraid to like I want to be the person to speak and lead this room. I want to be your leader. There are introverts like that. Mm. Now, at the end of the day, when they're done leading, they are going to retreat to a corner somewhere and just go, you know. So that's important for us to see that it's not about shyness. It's not about being having like a turbulent mind or being, you know, like having a lot of anxiety, even though for me, that was my experience. Mm-hmm. So there are different kinds of introverts. So that's, and I'm really passionate about this because, which is why I have my podcast, you know, and I talk a lot about my experience as an introvert who was shy and who kind of like has a lot of anxiety from time to time. I talk about that because I want people to kind of tease it out and know what's different.
100%. And I mean, coming kind of from the leadership development space, I think one of the myths is often is that, hey, an introvert, introverts aren't great leaders, you know, because the perception of what, you know, makes a leader somebody who's maybe charismatic and can, you know, can fill a room. And, and but what I've found is that some of the most articulate, some of the most decisive leaders are introverts and even some of the best communicators. One of my favorite communicators is Erwin McManus. Erwin McManus is a self-proclaimed introvert, you know, and, and you are as well. I mean, even the way you speak, like just how articulate, how great of a communicator you are, even as you've kind of learned how to harness, you know, introversion. I mean, talk a little bit about how that specifically ties into the medium of podcasting. Like, how has that allowed you to harness the power of being an introvert in this medium that allows you to communicate and lean into your strengths?
I think a huge part of it is reflection and prioritizing time to think and develop ideas and frameworks and concepts. All of that comes with time. And it requires time alone to contemplate ideas, you know, and flesh it out in a way that it makes sense right out of the gate to anyone who's listening. And that's one very powerful thing that I think introverts have. And when I see introverts who are not harnessing this power, I feel like there's a missed opportunity here. You know, there is a very real and powerful way that you can show up in the spaces that you already are, and the spaces that you want to make an impact by just paying attention to the skills, I call it skills, that you already have as an introvert.
Sure.
A lot of people cannot sit down for 40 minutes to 1 hour at a time, just contemplating, writing, reading. They have to get up and go do something.
Sure.
You know, like, what am I doing?
Yep.
You know, I can do it for 5 hours straight.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a strength that I bring to my platform, to podcasting. And I think it's really helped me to learn really how to be a better communicator.
Absolutely.
How to better speak to the things that my audience needs, how to better package ideas in a way that makes sense. Mm. So I think it's important for anyone who feels like, oh, I'm an introvert, but I don't know how to show up in these spaces. I don't know how to, you already have what it takes.
Yes.
You already have it to be a great communicator, to be someone who can pass across ideas in a way that makes sense. You already have it. Just lean into it, you know, and having a growth mindset is very important. There will be parts of it that you, so for instance, I remember when I was doing my master's program, I was still very, very shy. It was not easy for me, but I realized that I want to succeed in this project.
Sure.
I want to succeed. I want to do my best. I want to learn. I want to show up.
Yeah.
So how can I best do this? Even though I have all of this limiting mindset at the time. Okay, I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to find time, create time to really hone my craft. Mm. And what did that mean? Every time I had a presentation, every time I had to do anything that was, you know, outward facing, that I had to talk to people and communicate, I took extra time to prepare. Because I knew that I'm not a kind of person who can talk off the fly like that. You know, I'm getting better at it now, but at that time I was not.
Yes.
You know, and I remember during our presentations, I would see people who would come up and, you know, because they're just, you know, they're confident, naturally confident,
yes,
they're bold, you know, and they did not do the best job. Mm. Not because they weren't able to communicate what they wanted to, but it wasn't put together.
Yes.
In a way that it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. For me, I wanted to be able to create that kind of impression for my listener.
Yes.
So I knew I had to prepare. And it took a lot of time for me to prepare. I would rehearse my presentations because that was the only way for me to get used to the feeling of being, you know, a communicator, like constantly knowing that at the drop of a hat, I should be able to explain my ideas and my concepts.
Yes.
And some people feel like, oh, if you're a good speaker, you shouldn't have to prepare. Mm. I don't believe that.
Mm-mm. No.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know, I think sometimes we prioritize, oh, somebody who can just talk off the fly and just, you know, whatever. You don't need any, you know, I need a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable with that. Because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to prove a point. I'm trying to get my point across. There's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to prove that, oh, I'm this great comedian. No, I just want to connect with my audience in a way that whatever I said makes sense to them and they can, you know, run with it.
Yeah. And I mean, you pointed out to what I believe are really key success factors for having a great podcast. And that is preparation, the ability mm-hmm. to prepare. That is a skill in and of itself, the ability to to study and be prepared. And then the other thing is, like you said, being able to hold attention in a long form conversation. Right. It's being focused, being leaned in, inherently curious about if you have a guest mm-hmm. or if you have a solo pod, curious about the particular topic or concept or framework that you're digging into.
Yep.
You're right. It is almost in some senses, it's counterintuitive. It's almost a medium that is designed for introverts, maybe even more so than extroverts. Not to, you know, overgeneralize.
So.
It's not a TikTokification of just scroll, mm-mm. which is, you know, mm-mm. kind of quick. It really holds the attention of being able to be in a long form thing. And if you're used to being an introvert, where if you go to a party, rather than kind of bouncing around and talking to, you know, 37 different people, but you kind of have your one conversation in the mm-hmm. corner.
One conversation.
That's a great Friday night, you know, for an introvert is being able to connect with someone new. Let me ask you this, because I would probably categorize myself more as an ambivert, like more in the middle, because I really do, it kind of fluctuates. It's like I'm pumped to go mm-hmm. hang out at pickleball tonight and be around people. But do you ever, this is kind of a weird thing, like do you ever find yourself in like as a podcaster in a conversation, but you almost treat that conversation like it's a podcast? Like you're almost, does that make sense? Is this just me? Like you're in a conversation with someone and maybe you're in a really engaging moment and you go, man, mm-hmm. that would make mm-hmm. a really great clip. You know?
Like, I know.
Have you ever?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I feel like I still did that this weekend. I was explaining an idea to someone. And I feel like the way, even my body language, it's like I'm ready to go. It's like I'm on like a podcast interview. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think maybe that's just the curse of content creators. I'm not sure. But like, yeah,
I mean,
it's one of those things where, and I actually think it's great practice. It is one of those things mm-hmm. that you can kind of lean into. Mm-hmm. I think one mm-hmm. of the formative works on this, I'm sure you're familiar with Susan Cain's book, Quiet, which is, you know, mm-hmm. the power of introverts. And I think it's in a world that can't stop talking.
Right? Yeah.
And she has a TED Talk. We'll link it up in the description and everything so that you can kind of check that out. But maybe talk a little bit more about, you talked about defining introversion in kind of your own words of, it's really about how you approach the world, getting refueled. Can you build out mm-hmm. that framework a little bit more? And then specifically, your brand, The Driven Introvert, which kind of, you know, I think would fly in the face of, you know, what a lot of people, again, some of those myths, those stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a driven introvert, Remy?
Oh my gosh. It's pretty simple. I look at the juxtaposition of being, I'll use myself as an example because I'm an expert in myself.
Sure.
Being an introvert, the kind that doesn't see myself, and I bought into the myths for so long, you know, that doesn't see myself as a leader. I didn't see myself as the kind of person who could communicate ideas. I didn't, 100%. I did not. But also knowing that, even though I didn't see myself as that person, somehow the things that I was drawn to, the things I wanted to explore, required me to be that.
Mm.
So I have these dreams and goals and ideas that I want to chase, but then I feel like I'm not the kind of person to chase them. Like, where does that leave me? So it's this constant tension between the things I want to do and my ability to actually do them.
Mm.
So the driven part is where those two things connect.
Mm.
Are you motivated enough to pursue those goals, those dreams and ideas,
mm.
that you would do whatever it takes to grow into the kind of person you need to be to get there?
Mm.
And those are the kind of introverts I'm talking to.
Yes.
Those are the kind of introverts I really want to light a fire under them to know that the resistance would come in that space.
Mm.
You know that you need to grow to be this person, but the time it takes is a lot. The commitment it takes is intense. The learning, you have to learn, you have to be humble to know what you don't know, to acknowledge what you don't know, to be able to grow into who you need to be.
Mm.
Are you willing to do that?
Mm.
I think that's where a lot of people fall short, because you have all these dreams, I wish I could do this. But will you do what it takes to actually get there?
Wow.
So that's really that gap that I'm trying to fill.
What if I told you that your voice could be the most powerful asset in your business? And what better way to use your voice than starting a podcast? In fact, a comprehensive podcast strategy could be the missing link in your business's marketing mix. But how do you get started, and how do you make sure that it actually works? That's where my team at Made by Varsity can help. Made by Varsity is a full-service podcast agency that helps brands and entrepreneurs establish trust, build connections, and grow their business. So whether you need coaching and consulting to get set up, or you need turnkey solutions to manage and market your show from week to week, we've got you covered. Just head over to madebyvarsity.com and book a call with me today. All right, back to the episode. So let me ask you this, and I think I know the answer, but how much of your community, the people that you're serving, is the thing that actually drives you past that point of discomfort?
100%. I mean, I have a picture in my mind. Actually, when I started, it wasn't exactly when I started, because every time when you start something, you're feeling it out. You know, you don't know exactly who your audience is going to turn out to be. Sometimes you have an idea, but as you go, you're like, oh, okay. I see who this is really talking to.
Yeah.
And there's someone in my mind, and that's my avatar. And it's a real person that I met on a coaching mentorship call.
Wow.
And the things that we went through and we talked about, I'm like, this is horror. You know, I'm like, this is horror. And so that picture in my mind motivates me.
Yeah.
You know, because I have my own experience, but my experience is my experience. I want to make an impact in other people's lives.
Sure.
And that picture of that person in my mind motivates me,
right,
to keep doing this, you know, because I know the person, I know what they need, so to speak. I'm not, you know, trying to be like, you know, but I know what they need, what could help them to bridge that gap.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that keeps me going.
And I love what you're saying there, because I mean, when you have that servant mindset, you know, when you're serving an audience, you're not doing something to impress, but to serve. Yeah. It helps you push past those maybe points of discomfort. It pushes you into those areas of growth mindset. I mean, my pastor used to say all the time, listen, Saturday in Tampa, you know, it's nice. Like, yeah, I'd rather sit by the dock sometimes. But hey, pulling myself in for a Saturday night service, you know, to be able to serve hundreds of thousands of people, you know, that you know, it's worth it because of being able to, you know, to serve other people. And I think that it's an important mindset. And I mean, can you talk a little bit about what were some of the barriers specifically around podcasts that you had to overcome? Maybe it was the tech, maybe it was speaking to a camera, maybe it was the sound of your own voice, maybe it was, you know, connecting and reaching out to other people. I mean, what were some of the things about the medium specifically that were challenges that you had to overcome as an introvert?
I think for me, because I started my first podcast in 2016.
Mm.
It was that time when it was still iTunes and you had to like upload the thing, you know, one file at a time.
Yeah.
It was, shout out to Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income. I followed his tutorial
Pat Flynn.
To the T, because that's OG, all I had.
OG Pat Flynn.
OG, yes. I followed that tutorial, you know, step by step, because that's all I had to go by. And at that time, I remember there were so many things. I just was running on adrenaline. I was excited to do it, but then there was so much I didn't know. The tech was one of it because I didn't know anything about mics and all that. I actually had to go to the public library. I'm like, I need this. And I'm like, they just told me, okay, go into this room, use the mic, use the this. I just used the mic. It sounded horrible.
Yeah.
The audio was crappy.
Yeah.
It was.
Wait, your library had a podcast studio? That's awesome.
Yes.
Let's go.
They did. It wasn't the best. It wasn't soundproof. The AC would be going. And
yeah, people, check your public library and see if there's a podcast studio.
They do have resources. And I'm glad that I did that because I would go to the library, you know, and I just, what is this room? I'm like, oh, you know, we have stuff in there. I checked. I'm like, this is good. So that's what I used. So the tech was definitely 100% one thing. Another thing is, and I'm glad you mentioned it, I did not like the sound of my own voice. It was a big deal. I remember when I would do the podcast and when we would be driving to church or whatever, you know, and my husband would play the podcast. I'm like, please don't do that. Mm. Please turn it off. Don't play it. Because I could not listen back for some reason. You know, it was hard for me. Another part of it was figuring out how to promote the podcast. I really didn't know how to do it at the time. I had no idea. And things are better now. There are more tools. You know, we didn't have all of these tools at that time. So I didn't know what to do. All I did was create a graphic and throw it up on Facebook.
Yeah.
And nobody listened.
Sure.
So it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. I didn't know how to talk about it to people. Because, again, I'm an introvert. I don't like the spotlight to be on me. So when I'm in a conversation, I'm not going to tell you I have a podcast because that feels like
self-promoting. Well, let's talk about that. I wanted to press on that a little bit because marketing your podcast is 50% of the work. A lot of times we go through this effort of, okay, set the cameras up, the audio, and the lighting and everything, and then we get the edit and everything's good. But as soon as you press publish, that's only half of the job, right? The next half is to market it. Mm-hmm. How did you overcome some of that? Because I think that that is something like telling people that you have a podcast or it feeling maybe overly salesy or pushy. And we, you know, we've all kind of maybe encountered some of those folks that may come across as inauthentic. I mean, how did you press through some of that as an introvert of marketing your show?
Yeah. Gosh, I'm still growing, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But I have leaned a lot into the online opportunities, ways, you know, to get the word out there. So using the tools that are available and just keep trying to see what works. And that's the thing. You have to be open to, if you try something for long enough, you have to try it for long enough. Sometimes we don't give it enough time to see the effect and the impact. So if you try something, and my mentor always says, give it a solid 3 months.
Yep.
If you're trying to use a channel for marketing, give it a solid 3 months.
Absolutely.
What it does, right? And then if it's not working, you know, try something else. So I keep trying stuff, you know. So definitely I email it to my list, you know. I'm building and every podcaster should have that. You should have an email list.
Sure.
I do that, an email list. I email it to my list. I share clips on social media. There are different schools of thought for this. And I think I found it to be true that sometimes it doesn't really lead to a lot of conversions from your social media when you share clips to the podcast itself. Mm-hmm. But it's good for visibility. It's good for brand awareness. It's good to keep, you know, being top of mind for the people that already follow you.
Absolutely.
So that's helpful. And even drilling down into that, I figured out sort of like a more efficient way to create these clips. Because what I used to do before was I use Canva a lot just because it's easier than, you know, the tech heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of time. You know, I have just very little time to get this out.
Right.
So I have like a template in Canva that I use. I put the video in and then I look at, okay, this is the clip, the audio clip that I want. And I cut it out and I put it there. And I don't even do that anymore. Now, I pretty much use my iPhone. So I am always recording behind the scenes. So when I'm doing something and I'm on a call like this, I record. And Omar was really, you know, big in kind of telling us to do this,
right.
Beauty content. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. So I record behind the scenes and then I kind of text, I overlay the audio onto the video, the, you know, B-roll that I have on the iPhone, you know. And I do that while I'm playing the podcast. I do a screen recording.
Yep.
It's just easy. I can do it 30 minutes while I'm getting ready to go to bed or whatever.
Of course.
You know, to prepare for the next day. So the thing is, you just have to keep figuring out what works for you and how you can kind of lean into what works. Now, in terms of other like one-on-one connections, I try to tell people about it as much as I can if it fits into the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like, if we're talking about something totally different, I'm not going to like, if it fits into the conversation, then I can tell you about, oh, I have a podcast and this, and people can kind of get to know it that way. And I'm also, part of it is the speaking, right? Constantly looking for opportunities to speak, opportunities to talk to entrepreneurs, to talk to podcasters, creating community, and just continuously doing that. And that has required me to really get out of my comfort zone as an introvert. The other digital stuff, I can do that in my room. It's not a big deal, right?
Sure.
I just need to get over the fact that, oh, people are going to be seeing me online. And that's another thing I had to get used to.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I used to think that when somebody comes to your page and they see it's all your face, like it's too much. And I'm like, it is my page.
It's funny. What do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do? It's my page. You know, anyway, I had to get over that. So those are the things that I do. And I'm leaning into the speaking now and, you know, just looking for opportunities to speak to groups, to entrepreneurs, whatever.
Sure.
And all of that helps, you know, get the word out about the show.
Yeah. And I mean, building community and having a community around your brand is so important. I've even kind of watched you like going to conferences and connecting and reaching out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, look at Remy. And I think it's so important for us podcasters and content creators to support each other. I mean, anytime I see any of our Omar Summer Camp friends posting something, you know, I'm commenting. I'm like, hey, I will be the first to subscribe. I will be the first to review because we need that. I mean, even something as simple as podcast reviews, we know that that drives up the ranking. And one of the most simple things that you can do is to go leave a review for your friend that has a podcast. That's the hard thing too, is because I don't know, I almost sometimes the people who know you best support you the least when it comes to content creation. Is that is that fair? Like, is that unfair?
I mean, I feel like it's just what it is.
Yeah.
Because look at what Jesus said, if I can remember his quote very well, as a prophet does not, what is the thing?
As a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the familiarity.
It's just the way it is. But what I say to that is keep working.
Yeah.
Keep doing the thing, you know? And sometimes your closest people, maybe they need a little more to be like, hey, publicly support you, you know, and when something happens, you know, and you crush it, you cross a threshold and then you begin to see that support. So it's just the way it is.
and I think it's important too, to realize that with any type of content creation, especially podcasting, because you can't always attribute it to a name, a viewer, a download to a name, is that there is a such thing as silent engagement. There's this quiet engagement where people are watching and listening that you may not even realize are listening
that
to it.
That is true.
And then I've found that sometimes people come to me like 2 or 3 months, sometimes even 2 or 3 years in, and go, oh my God, bro, I love the podcast. I found that to be true with the podcast that I did with my pastor for 4 years.
Yeah.
Is just like, wait a second. Why don't you comment? Like, leave a review if you like it so much. Come on. Help us out. Like, tell somebody.
No, I do not know the way out of that. But yes, that happens all the time.
And it's, I think some of it is like, it's people are busy. Like, they have their own things going on. And I get it. But but it is one of those important things to kind of stretch out and to build that community. And I love what Omar says, is that when you start doing this kind of thing, you are the least known now than you'll ever be. And so you might as well.
That's encouraging.
Continue to create. So can you talk a little bit about audio versus video? I think you had an audio only podcast for a little while. Like, as an introvert, would you recommend starting an audio only podcast to sort of get comfortable with the medium at first?
I think this would be very specific to the person involved. You have to think about yourself. There's so many factors. You have to think about yourself. What works best for you? What will allow you to be the most comfortable, the most vulnerable, the most open, you know, and the most committed. So you don't want to commit to something that would take so much from you and then you cannot sustain it. So if you feel like an audio first podcast is a great way to start, where you can just ramp up, get used to it, take it for a spin, be comfortable in your skin as a podcaster, I would recommend that. But if you feel like you're good, you can get straight into the video, you know what to do, you have all of the gear and it's easy to set up, it's not an extra hoop for you to jump through that will make you feel like, I don't want to podcast today, then, you know, so you have to think very strategically about your situation and what works for you.
Do you kind of have, I think one of the skills to think through in talking about how the value of consistency is like, I love what you talked about, creating a sustainable framework. And I think energy management is a really important thing to talk about because of how introverts draw their energy.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your framework? Can you batch record? Like, can you do two or three episodes in a particular day? Or do you, like, what's your rhythm? Do you have to spread that out for your tank to fill back up?
Yeah. For me, gosh, I have tried so many things and I keep learning on the kind of like how it goes. But I can write because I have to write down, you know, thoughts, ideas, notes and things, you know, for my podcast. I can write maybe 3-4 episodes in a day.
Okay.
And but I found that when it comes to recording, for me personally, I record one at a time.
Okay.
And it's just because of my schedule at this time.
Right.
I'm doing most of my recordings at night at 11:30, midnight, you know?
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, I'll get this one out. But if I have to write, I can sit down. And what I usually do is I tell my husband on a Saturday, I need to go to the library. And I need about 5 hours to sit in the library and create. I'm doing that right now. Like I'm doing a new series on my podcast called Introvert Problems, Faith Solutions. Mm. And I'm like, I need time to write the series. So I write like 4 at a time when I go. And then when I'm ready to record, I'll just record one at a time, you know, and then maybe the next 2 days later, I might record another one. But I still call it batch recording because I record way before I need to actually start releasing them, just like you're doing with your podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for you to kind of look at your schedule, your energy, your preferences, and do what works for you. It will take a lot of trial and error, but just keep refining that process, you know, and it gets better for you with time.
And these are the important things to think about when building out and planning your podcast. It's beyond the gear. It's sometimes even beyond, you know, the content. It's beyond the branding. It's these little things like, what is your production schedule?
Yeah.
What is, you know, what is your batch recording kind of approach? Like how if you're doing a setup tear down, like, you know, for me, like I put out a reel a few weeks ago of like, I record my show, like this is my living room, right? And there's usually Legos and, you know, all types of kids stuff through here. And so I have to record at a time where my kids are in school and, you know, they're being very sort of thoughtful about all of that, of like what day of the week works best for me, you know? And so all of those are super key parts to be able to have a successful and a sustainable podcast in the long run. So,
and I think that's a lot of times when we start, we don't think about it. You're not optimizing for that because you're just like, oh, so excited. You want to get started, which is why it's good to have somebody help you. And I know that you are doing that with your company, helping people start and launch podcasts. I think it's very crucial to have someone walk you through the process.
Absolutely.
So that you kind of see, you know, what's coming down the road and you can prepare for that. So that's important.
Absolutely. I mean, it is so important to be able to have some of those frameworks because a lot of what you learn through this is through trial and error, is through mistakes. And, you know, they say like, you know, the two biggest expenses as an entrepreneur, the second is taxes and the first is ignorance. And so like it is, it's so true even for this space too. And it's like, gosh, if you can just save yourself some of that headache, you have the resource to do it, to do that. It's it's major. So talk a little bit about kind of what you're up to next. I mean, just around, you know, building community, like what does the next step look like? You've got a really, really cool podcast community that you're starting to build out. So I'd love to know a little bit about that, how we can come alongside of you, support you. Sure. And of course, go like and subscribe to the Driven Introvert as well. So
I know. Oh, thank you so much. So when I decided to really, really go deep on podcasting, I kept my eyes and my ears and my heart open to like, what do people need? What do I need as a podcaster? And I realized that one huge thing is community.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, a lot of us are creating in isolation. You're in your room, in your studio, in your house, in the basement, whatever, creating your podcast. Every time. Yes, you might get on a call like this one,
yeah.
But you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's a grind. There's no way around that, you
yep.
know? So I realized that the more you kind of stay isolated, the very easy it is for you to give up. Mm. And if you look at the statistics, it's not good. A lot of people give up on podcasting, you
yep.
know? And I wanted to do something about that. I'm like, what can I do as somebody who is really passionate about the medium to help, you know, just the community grows. So I decided to start a podcasting community. Right now it's on Facebook. And what we do is we're trying to create intentional connections, meaningful connections between podcasters. So we do events like we have a podcast listening party that we do every week. So it's on alternative Thursdays and Saturdays. And we get together. And you can just show up. It doesn't matter. You don't need anything prior. Just show up. If you're a podcaster, you have a show, you want to connect with other people, show up. We pair up and then we share, you know, each other's podcast. So if I were paired with you and you would probably be somebody I've never met before, we would listen to each other's show. I'll listen to your show. You listen to mine. And we trade feedback. Oh, this is what I thought was amazing. Maybe you could think about this, suggestions, all of that. It helps you just get out of your, you know, bubble, out of your own head, and meet other people who are doing the same thing that you can learn from. And it's also somebody who now gets to know about your podcast who didn't know about it before and who has the potential to tell somebody else. You know, podcasts grow mostly right now through word of mouth. It's
yes.
one-on-one connections. Mm-hmm. So that helps us do that, you know? And I really wanted to create a space that was more intentional because sometimes communities can be overwhelming. You
sure.
know, you just get in there. There's so many comments. Everybody's
right.
talking. Everybody's posting their links.
Yeah,
you don't know just, what's going on.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's helpful. So if you are a podcaster or maybe you're just like, I haven't started, it's open to people who are wanting to also start shows because it helps you. I mean, you get in a community with other people who are doing it. You get motivated. You get ideas. You get suggestions. Very real feedback. To help you grow. So I'm really excited about that right now. And it's called Podcasters Connect and Grow. It's currently on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll make sure to link that in the description too. And I think that's so important
sure.
too. It's almost like, almost think of it like speed dating, you know, for podcasters.
I know,
you know,
podcasters,
we're able
I love
to
it.
Just connect because, I mean, mm-hmm. we're, especially if you have a guest-driven show the way that this one is, you know, you're always looking mm-hmm. for guests to kind of connect,
yeah,
to collaborate with. And then those audiences really cross-pollinate in a lot of ways,
yeah.
you know? And
yes.
so, you know, that's always it's always such an incredible thing when that community can come alongside of each other.
Absolutely.
And then I love what you're doing because it is so intentional. Like you said, there are, you know, 1,000, you know, kind of podcasts, Facebook groups, but oftentimes mm-hmm. what they do devolve into is just the self-promotion and there isn't mm-hmm. kind of that flywheel of community around
yeah.
it. So thank
mm-hmm.
you. Thank you for stepping into
sure.
that space and doing that. And so everybody make sure to jump into that Facebook group, that community. I'm
yes.
excited to be a part of it. So, hey, mm-hmm. you know, any final
Thank
thoughts?
You. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I would say that people think that podcasting is saturated for some reason. I think it's because it's in our collective consciousness a lot. There are a lot of podcasts, big name podcasts, you know, who are like making deals and all of them. People are like, oh, everybody has a podcast today. No, everybody does not, in fact, have a podcast.
Yeah.
When you look at the data, over like 4 million podcasts out there, just about less than 500,000 of those are actually active.
Yeah.
So there is opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing to jump in and do the very best that you can and be excellent at your craft, there's an opportunity. So if anyone's listening and you're like, oh, I want to start a podcast, but I don't know if I should, you should. Remember I said, be a trier.
Yes.
Just do it. You know, do it. If it's on your mind, if it's, you know, coming to you, just do it.
Mm.
You know, figure out how you can do it in a the most sustainable way possible,
yeah.
but do it. There is opportunity here to grow in podcasting. So I would say that.
So if somebody's on the fence, what's the mm-hmm. one thing that they should do right now today? If they're on the fence about starting a podcast, what should they do specifically in an introvert?
I would say get in community with other people who are doing it because there is such an infusion of energy of excitement that you get when you see what is possible.
Yep.
So I would say, and this is not because I just want you to join the Facebook group or whatever, but it's important getting community, even if you haven't started, with other people who are podcasting. Being in that space will help you, you know, and then you can figure it out from there.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? What is your content about? You know, how can you make it work with your current schedule, your lifestyle? And that's what I would say.
Yep.
That proximity is very crucial.
I love it. Becoming a student of the game and then going to your public library. Come on.
Can we
make libraries great again, everybody?
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
I love it. Thank you so much, Remy. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, this was amazing, Brad. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, talk soon. Hey fam, thanks so much for joining us on Making Varsity. If you enjoyed this week's content, make sure to tap that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. For more resources, check out the show notes below or join me on YouTube. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time.